Week 13 is upon us. Only a few weeks left of college football. It's bittersweet. Let's get into the slate. But first, I want to welcome everybody's here. Everybody is in front of their computer, like I was not the last show. I hope you all did well with the tailgate show. I unfortunately missed it. My phone dropped network reception, and I was out the rest of the day. So, with that being said, we'll turn it over to the other host of the show, Q. Give us a little rundown on last week, what you saw, what you didn't like that we did not cover on the recap show.
Well, I'll tell you this. State of Arkansas needs to get rid of Boost Mobile as the main provider.
Yeah.
But no, I think we covered it. I know we were supposed to do, and we had some issues planning-wise, a pick-em show. I think we start there first. You know, I sit there and I think about it. We're not on the committee. Like, I got a little irritated at some of the picks, but why? Like, until the final ones come out. Now, I will say this. I think you had great dialogue, as well as Nick today on Jeff's show. The 5 seed seems to have the easiest path. With that being said, we talked about 10, you know, value, and Jeff was kind of on the Ole Miss team. Listen, you know me, Matt. I said in college baseball, I'm not big on value if it doesn't cash a ticket. I think Bama and Georgia right now have the best value to cash a ticket, and we talk about the coaches on that show. But, you know, DeBoer and Kirby are, in my opinion, two of the most proven coaches in college football right now. Lane Kiffin just, yeah, he won one big regular season game. Like, I need to say it in a playoff format. But overall, they're going to keep moving. I mean, this Indiana-Ohio State's going to have major ramifications. You know, what happens if Texas somehow loses Kentucky? Like, there's so many ramifications that are going to happen, specifically in the SEC, where 6 teams are going to be, you know, at will to be messed with because of it. It's too hard to tell right now and get stressed out over.
Nick, for those that missed the show with Jeff, kind of run down on what Q is talking about the 5 seed right now and how it shakes up.
Yeah, so kind of explain it as everybody sees right now Ohio State's the betting favorite to win the national championship. That is not the book saying that they're the best team. They just have the easiest path because right now they are slated as the 5 seed, which means they would open up at home against the 12, which is most likely going to be either Boise State. And if they get beat in their championship game, then it's probably going to be Tulane. So you take any SEC team, they're going to want to play one of those group of 5 teams to start off. And then after that, if they win that game, then you play the 4 seed, which is most likely going to be a 2-loss, probably Big 12 champion in Colorado, or BYU. Arizona State still has a chance, but I don't think anybody's really worried about them either. But, I mean, anybody can beat anybody on any given day. We've all seen that. But still, that's why the betting favorite is the betting favorite. Ohio State's not considered the best team right now, just the easiest path. And like Q said, what I'm going to look for is when the final rankings get released, let's see who's 5, and that might be worth kind of betting on if it's around somewhere between like plus 300, plus 500. I would guess right now it's most likely going to be Ohio State as long as they beat IU this weekend. Others with a chance, maybe Texas. Say Bama beats Texas in the SEC championship game, I could see Texas being the 5. Then I could see Georgia being the 5. I don't really know about anybody else. Even as a Notre Dame fan, I would love it. I don't think the committee will do it. If there's 4 or 5 SEC teams in it, 4 or 5 Big Ten teams in it, they'll give one of them the 4 seed or the 5 seed. Sorry,
Toddy, we haven't heard from you yet. You have anything else to add?
No, I think they pretty much said it. I think, too, when the final one comes out, just the conditions, you know, some of these teams from the south might have to go up north, and that should be just beautiful weather. So I think that's another thing we got to keep an eye on. If you watched the NFL game last night, that was beautiful. Not a good outcome from the Steelers, but it was entertaining football. But, you know, some of these teams.
January football in South Bend.
Yeah, I mean, some of these teams have never really – they don't really travel up that far north, so I think they could struggle. So that will be something to keep an eye on, some of these matchups.
Sean, happy Friday. I don't know who just commented that. I'm guessing Q. Off service or lost interest. I was waiting for him to put on a hog costume. I would have. And I really wanted to do the Texas Longhorns with the fireball, but that didn't work out.
You didn't do the shots?
No.
Oh.
Joe, we may or may not have partaken in fireball shots with the group afterwards. But
hey, I'll tell you this. Smitty and I used to bring flasks in the Ann Arbor Stadium. That was fun. A little plastic flask you just throw under your belt. They don't even do security there. It was great. Get yourself one. Take it in.
So we've had some line movement in this first matchup we're going to talk about. Number five, Indiana. If you don't know, now you know. Kurt Cignetti, all he does is win. Ohio State. Any opportunity I have to fade Ohio State, and I know we talked about it before this week even became a thing, and seeing the lines, we talked about it. If it was 9.5, 10, 10.5, I was going to be on Indiana. I've kind of steered clear from it right now. The line move, I still don't know exactly why it dropped. It was as high as 13. I figured if it got to 14, it would immediately get hammered. But this one's down to 10 right now in favor of Ohio State. Todd, I'll go to you first because you look like the most prepared there looking down at your notes. As Ken says, Michigan with the big flip. And what, $10 million from Dave Portnoy, probably? But, Todd, Big Ten country, what do you make of this matchup? Do you think Indiana has a chance here, or do you think Ohio State just really runs away with it?
Well, this is a tough one, and I have no action yet, but I'll tell you where I kind of dove into some numbers here in a second. I think if you listen to a lot of shows, a lot of people are saying, is the stage too big? So we'll find out. I don't know. I think this team's good. Quarterback's been around for a long time. I think the head coach is fantastic. You know, Ohio State, this is where I'm going to go here. How about the first quarter? So I kind of dove into the first quarter with stuff. Now, I hit last week, I did play Northwestern, I think, plus 28.5, and that was one of my winners I gave out. But if you look at the first quarter, this is a team that we said for weeks, they get off really slow. Last week, it was 0-0. Against Northwestern. Purdue, they were only up 7. Penn State, it was 10-7, they were down. Nebraska, it was 7-0. Oregon, it was 7-6. Iowa was 7-0. Michigan State, 3-0. Marshall, 7-7. The only one they've really jumped and played like unbelievable was the first game of the year, and I believe it was 21 off the top of my head against Western Michigan. So I have not played anything yet, but I'll tell you, if I would be looking at something in this, maybe an Indiana first quarter or maybe what the total is and maybe taking it under and that's kind of where I'm going. I think it's going to be a great game. I hope Indiana hangs. I love the story. So I like the coach. I hope they play well, but that's where I dove in looking at some stats this week.
Matt and Smitty, I'm seeing the first quarter spread is -3.5 for Ohio State over under 12.5, just to tie that in. I kind of like the under first quarter.
Well, you'll see it in a little bit, but that is actually one of my best bets. I took Indiana +3.5 for the first quarter, and I'll get into a little bit of why here when we recap our best bets. Nick, what are you doing here?
Yeah, I'm under full game. Believe it, it's 53.5 right now, so it's kind of gone up a point. But I just think both these defensive lines are better than both offensive lines. Especially when Ohio State has three backups in right now. They've had to move their left guard to left tackle. Center just ruptured his Achilles during practice this week. Right guard, we saw him get pulled. Like, he was one of their better, like, offensive linemen. He literally got pulled after the first couple series against Ole Miss because he couldn't move, couldn't block anybody. Haven't seen him since. So we'll see what they look like. But Indiana's defense is very good. Like, don't get me wrong, their offense kind of gets all over. They're fun.
Yeah, Jim, thanks for being here. This is my friend Jim White.
James White, I think he was a running back for the Patriots.
That is not
great to have you.
See,
boy, I thought I was like hearing something. But, yeah, I mean, as I was saying, I just think these defenses are better than the offenses. Todd talked about starting off slow. It's going to be cold. It's going to be chilly. Wind won't be a factor. There's no real rain, but just kind of cold. It's one of those probably sleepy type of first halves. But I think this is a full. I think it's a full game under for me. IU's going to be. You talk about highly motivated. They're getting bulletin board material all week. Have you heard anybody say like, "Hey, what if Indiana wins? What if like Indiana covers?" Every single thing I've heard from every podcast, TV show is like, "How much can Indiana lose by? Or how? What will it take? What if they beat by 24? What if they get beat by 14? What if they win?" Like, they're getting talked about at all about winning this game. They're the team that's undefeated. Ohio State is not. They're the team that beat Nebraska 52-3, and Ohio State beat them by 3 points. So we'll see. I could see this going literally either way. So I don't have a play on the side. I'm going to root for Indiana. Like, don't get me wrong. I just do not like Ohio State football very much. But I think it's going to probably be between a 14-20-point game, and then we're going to have a lot to talk about next week.
Help me out with this. A couple years ago, Indiana loses late fourth, maybe overtime. It was like a 42-35 game. They had a quarterback threw a ton of picks. It was Ward. Am I drawing a blank there?
Yeah, it doesn't sound familiar.
Okay. Anyways, Indiana had a quarterback that ended up transferring. I could see this game being similar, but in a lower scoring fashion, just like Nick had mentioned. Indy, I don't know. Like, so like Michigan, right? They're a bad team, but they're a better team on Indiana's schedule. They kind of struggle. Same with Ohio State. Ohio State has the talent. I played the under 12.5 just now. I could see it being like a 7-0 or a 7-3 first quarter. It's cold. Teams are going to kind of start slow. Ohio State has a little bit of injury issues. Indiana, probably going to have some scripted plays. Should be able to get 3-7 there. But I think it's going to be pretty tight. The only reason I didn't like your play, Matt, is because if it is at 7-3, it's a big loser. So I'll just play the under. But I do think Cignetti is that bulletin board material guy. I think he's throwing it up there saying, hey, nobody gives us a chance. We played a weak schedule. You know, we haven't played anybody. Now we're just going to get trounced. So I think at least for the first half, they're going to be in there. Second half, if Ryan Day is half a coach of what he wants to be, he'll make adjustments and he'll beat Indiana on sheer talent. But it's really hard to tell. Outside of that, I want no parts of this game. I actually want to enjoy it for the last three quarters and just see what Indiana's about, because I think it's great for the sport if they win, and I think it brings a little more parity to the 12 teams of anybody can beat anybody. So that's kind of where I stand.
And this one's been up and down. I mean, it was looking quarterback. Now it's dropping again. So it's a tough read. It's a tough read.
Yeah, I was waiting for like I saw like a 13.5, but it was like -120. So I was waiting for it to either come down or I was going to wait and try to buy it to 14. Literally next thing I know, an hour later, it's like down to 11.5. I'm like, what the heck? So I kind of missed the train on that, but I would have been on Indiana at 13.5 or 14. Don't forget, they're coming off a bye too. They've had 2 weeks to prepare. Ohio State is their game of the year. So I think they'll be prepared. I think they'll pull out a bunch of stuff that Ohio State hasn't seen yet. So yeah, I like that first half play.
I think a lot of my reasoning is because I'm going to trust Kurt Cignetti on the scripted drives. Ryan Day is not a good coach. Okay. He is the epitome of being born on third base and think you hit a triple. Like this is the time where I think coaching is going to bite him in the ass, and it's going to come out. I'm not going to be surprised if Indiana just jumps on him early. But then Ohio State, I mean, we know that they've got the better athletes top to bottom on this roster. But I don't trust Will Howard. I think Indiana's defense is good enough to make him make mistakes. And I think that'll be critical, especially if we're just talking about a first quarter. But also, a lot of people talk about Indiana's strength of schedule. Who have they beaten? Ohio State's not exactly a great strength of schedule either. At 53, I mean, they beat up on bad teams. The one good team that they played, they lost to Oregon. So I don't really understand the hatred towards Indiana, not liking them here because of the strength of schedule. But moving on to Q's Florida Gators, he's calling an upset. Q?
Well, I want to say that now.
Why do you – I mean, I think if Ole Miss doesn't cover, it's quote-unquote upset. Gators are rolling, though. What, 6-1 ATS in their last seven? Ole Miss – they're going to put up style points, though, when they can. I'm personally on the over here, 55.5, and first half team total over 16.5 for Ole Miss. But Q, we chomping?
Yeah, So it's going up. It's at 11.5 now. Florida has a lot of confidence right now. They're playing lights out. There are three starting cornerbacks throughout. They have freshmen playing who played really well last week against LSU, a decent passing offense. DJ Lagway is 4-1 in his starts, or 3-1, I'm sorry. I will die on this hill. If he plays the entire Georgia game, he wins that game.
Well I don't get
Florida has given their coach a confidence boost. They're getting their recruits. Like, everything is going well, but everybody's saying Ole Miss is just going to come in and beat them. Lane Kiffin has not done well against the Florida Gators. In his time at Tennessee, in his time at Ole Miss, Florida dominates them. It's at the Swamp. I understand Ole Miss is coming off a bye, but Lane Kiffin drops games. He obviously beat Georgia. Big game at home. This is different. This is a rowdy Swamp again. It hasn't been rowdy for a long time. It is. I do think it should have been a night game. I think ESPN messed that up and not flexed that to the night. But I don't necessarily think it hurts the Gators to play at noon. I think as long as DJ Lagway continues to stay healthy, Florida can be in this game within the 11. And who's to say they can't beat Ole Miss? Ole Miss has been known to drop games before. Their defense is flying around. I think they average like 4.2 giving up yards against LSU, only 6 to Georgia. There's no reason they can't hang in this game.
Nick?
I don't have anything on it. I was hoping I could get Ole Miss less than 10. I think this looks more like the Texas game. I think this is – Florida is going to be good, but they are young. We saw last time they faced a great defensive line. LSU does not have a great defensive line. Lagway kind of got to stand back there. They were able to run the ball, which if you've seen Lagway play, he loves – like the play actions are where he gets most of his yardage. He is great at it, especially when he's rolling out. Ole Miss, you can't run against them. So then do they really fall for any play action? I mean, I do.
I watched Jaden Ball run all over Tennessee also and Montrell Johnson. I think they have a comparable offense or comparable defense. And that's not saying Tennessee's bad, but Florida did it against Tennessee. Why can't they do it against Ole Miss?
It is true. Like, we will see. I would just be on the other side. I think, I don't know. Like, Florida, yes, they are playing hard, playing well, but Ole Miss is playing for something. Like, this is like Florida. If they lose, it's like, oh, crap, we lost. We're playing hard. But if Ole Miss loses, it's like, well, there goes our season. We should have been in the playoffs, all that. I just think, I don't know. I think he gets them ready to go. Lane Kiffin's been waiting on these moments. I know he's kind of struggled in them previously in his career. They haven't really been this good, though. I think this is just, he's got a defense now, finally. Jackson Dart, Trey Harris is finally back healthy. Logan Diggs is healthy for the first time all year. So I think getting everybody back, I just think this is an Ole Miss team that I don't know if they rolled it, like, killed them like Texas did. Like, Lagway's going to have to keep Florida in the game. But I think it's probably somewhere between 10 and 17. So I think this line is about right. So I'm staying off of it.
Todd?
Yeah, I mean, exactly what Nick just said there. I would be on Ole Miss. I think it's – I missed it. Kind of went up a little bit too much for me also. Kind of in my notes, kind of the same thing. You know, Ole Miss, pretty good ATS team. Again, Florida, great story. I've said it. The coach deserved to come back. DJ's a really good young quarterback. They're playing young kids. They're playing really well. I'm very impressed how Florida has played the season here. I just think what Nick said too, I think it's a very good defensive line. I think this is a good spot for Ole Miss. I think they'll be ready to go. I think I missed it. I think it's too high. It's a stay away for me. But I think what Nick just said, I could see in that 10 to 17. I kind of agree with him. I think Ole Miss will win. I think Florida will play hard, and they'll be ready for next week to probably put a good whipping on Florida State. But I think this is a good spot for Ole Miss.
All right. Another team still playing for a lot. You've got SMU taking on Virginia. And I refuse to believe Virginia is good. I know they can do a lot. I think Chris Felica, he gave out Virginia. I just sell me on why SMU. I mean, it was obvious last week if you watched the end of that game. Rhett Lashley decided to go score the touchdown. It didn't mean anything. They still didn't cover the full game spread, but it did show that they care, and putting up style points is going to be important. Todd, I'll go to you. What?
Real quick, 42-35, Indiana. Michael Penix was the quarterback.
Penix, yeah.
2020.
I remember that guy.
But yeah.
Anyways, Todd, as my dog starts to bark, I'm going to mute my mic. Go ahead.
Maybe that's a good sign for the dog in this one.
Oh, no.
Listen, I like this UVA team. I had them last week against Notre Dame. Now, was it a sweat to get that cover? Yes, it was. I mean, it was. But, hey, like Nick, I wrote Nick, and he's like, come on now. I don't care if they dominate. They covered the spread, and that's all that mattered, and I got a winning ticket here.
Two touchdowns called back. Quarterback
system here. And if you look at UVA, they have played hard in these big games, and I think this can be a big game. You got to respect SMU last week, man. I know for Nick, I know it respected Nick because I think he had the team points and he needed that late touchdown. So he loved it. Didn't take a knee, get it in. I love the SMU program too. But Elliott's a pretty good coach, 13-3 ATS and ACC play 3-1 this year. I'll tell you what, I think this one's closer. I think SMU wins. If I was going to play it, I have not yet. I think I'd be on UVA.
Projections have SMU minus 11. It's right around that spread. Nick, you doing anything here?
Yeah, one of my best bets. SMU team total over, again, 34.5. You mentioned style points. I think it's even more important this week, or they got an eye opening from seeing Boise put in that fourth slot. Now they know that even if they win the Big 12 championship, they have to do it looking better than Boise. Because if Boise stays ranked ahead of them, Boise will get that four seed. We mentioned SMU or whoever gets that 12 seed will immediately open with most likely Ohio State or Georgia. That's not what they want. They want that 4 seed. They want the bye. They're going to keep putting up points. So I'm taking the team total over 34.5. I don't trust SMU's defense, though. Like right now, like we saw backup quarterback from Boston College go down to Dallas and stick with them and actually put points on the board. Virginia has the capability. Like sometimes they are so weird. Like Calandria is like one of those where looks like a superstar one drive and then looks like he's never thrown a football before the next. So I think we'll get some turnovers. SMU will get some short fields, help with that team total. So I'm staying away from the spread just because, yeah, Virginia's a little bit dangerous at home because it's kind of sneaky early in the day too in Virginia. They're going to have probably 30,000 fans, a little bit sleepy. So be careful, but I think SMU pulls it out. And just give me a lot of points.
I'm sorry, Sean. This is not the F1 insiders. But Charles Leclerc, I know I'm saying that wrong, plus 250. That was the best bet to win it all. Q, close us out with the SMU, hopefully.
Man, I think Nick said it best. Like, what UVA team shows up? You know, do you get that team versus Pitt that can actually play good football? Maybe. But then again, Calandria, he just tries to do too much. Like, his legs allow him to extend plays, but then what he does on that extended play is just – you might as well flip a coin. You know, I don't think he understands when to take the four-yard run versus trying to throw a 40-yard pass. And I think it hurts UVA more often than not. SMU, they need this win. It's a weird spot to be in, especially noon in Charlottesville. Crowd's not really going to be a factor. They're having a lot of trouble. It's been a big issue there down there in Charlottesville that they've brought up. It's a stay away because if I said SMU would trounce them and then UVA stays close, like I wouldn't be surprised. But I also wouldn't be surprised if SMU runs a score up. I just think there's way better to try to gamble than this one because you just don't know what teams are going to show up.
Thanks for that. Trying to get a bet. All right, let's move on. Colorado.
Hey, can I just say something? You got to love that you come on and you were going to look at college football and we're giving out race. I hope there's like a fishing competition that we can give out a guy to win that tournament this weekend too. Hey, I mean, listen, it all here. I love it. I got a ping pong match later tonight over in Russia. I'll give it out in a little bit.
Hey, that takes me back to the COVID days where we were betting on like Russian ping pong.
Yeah,
good old times.
Think you 10 days to get paid out.
But when you consume as much of these,
that's women's Romanian basketball queue. That takes a couple days.
Phil Bobbitt was on a numbers game with Sean's favorite person, Gil Alexander, and he gave out several, but two that he gave out were a practice round last night, and they were like plus 350 and plus 325 to get in first, second, or third. And they both cashed. So he's 2-0 right now, which means he's probably going to go down. But, yeah, go check out VSIN. And, Sean, yeah, Andiyama for Gaza to win the seventh race. We're just we're an everything show at this point.
I think Sonny and I saw him at Charleston.
We talk college football though. Colorado taking on Kansas, who's been the grim reaper of undefeateds. Thankfully, Colorado does not fit that bill. I don't think Kansas can pull off this win again. I don't know. The three is scaring me a little bit. I think they probably cover, but one of my best bets we'll get into a little bit, Colorado money line, -135. I think the Buffs are just, they've got too many athletes, something that Kansas has not really seen a whole lot of. Yeah, Rocco Becht was a decent quarterback, but I don't think he's Shedeur Sanders. Q, I'll go to you because I know you're simpatico with me here with Colorado. Why are we buying the Buffs here and selling this red hot Kansas team?
Yeah, I think Colorado is playing hot right now. The Buffaloes are rolling, and you know, they have two of the best players on the field in Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter. Travis going for the Heisman. Offensively and defensively matters for him specifically. They're a team that could potentially sneak into the final 12. I mean, they're sitting 16. They could potentially win the Big 12. They need to win out. And Deion's, you know, proven me wrong this season. I kind of took the bait and thought they were going to be trash. And, you know, I got to eat crow. And Kansas, they just didn't really live up to the season. I know I talked about it last week. They have the talent. I just think it's a little late in the season to kind of string together a couple big wins. I think if you were going to get that, you would have got it early on and it would have carried momentum. So I think Colorado having a lot to play for versus Kansas just now figuring things out is just going to be a little too much for the Jayhawks.
Nick?
No side here for me. I would kind of lean like the total, like over. I think both these offenses can score. Colorado's defense has been a little bit better than expected the second half of the season. But this Kansas offense, I think, is kind of clicking. Like, it wasn't great against BYU, but you take out those red zone turnovers, should have put up more points. Colorado, though, zero wins against top 25 teams. Kansas has two in the last 2 weeks. So, like, are we sure Colorado's the hottest team and playing better right now? There's a reason Kansas is within three. I think the books are kind of trying to tell you something. I don't know. I'm staying far, far away from this one. This is one of these fishy lines that when we'll talk about the other fishy line of the week. But yeah, I am staying far away from this game.
I saw an interesting graphic that somebody put out about draft stock, and Travis Hunter was the number one listed wide receiver and cornerback.
No.
Going into Sean's question here, do we see version 2.0? I'm assuming, of Charles Woodson with Travis Hunter. I find it hard to believe he's the best in both when it comes to draft stock. Maybe
he's not the best receiver. Corner, I could see corner, he could be one or two.
He's up there for sure. Corner.
Pedro McMillan is better.
I think Nick Nash is up there.
Nick Nash is probably going to be the second one taken. Trey Harris is better. I mean, Jeremiah Smith's not in his draft class, but he would be gone ahead of him. So, yeah, I don't think so. I think he's corner, possibly receiver. No.
Smitty, I know you're Oppo.
Well, I should have went it last week. It wasn't one of the plays I gave out on the show, but I played and I said, you know, all these stats with these like last 50 games with Kansas, it's been over, over, over. And then we get a real low scoring game in BYU and Kansas last week. So I said on the recap show, and Nick just said it too, I didn't play it yet, but I think it's 59.5. I think this is the week that it could be very high scoring. I think we could get a big high scoring game. I did take Kansas. It's one of my best bets. I am going to take the three in this. You know, Colorado's 8-2 ATS. I mean, they've covered, I think, 8 in a row. They're playing great. But Kansas is playing that spoiler role really well. 3-1. And they're 4-0 ATS last four in this. I think this is a great game. I think this is, you know, Hunter didn't really do much. He got a ricochet INT last week. He didn't catch a lot of balls. And I know Sanders was joking in an interview and said, like, he's probably pissed off at me and I got to get him the ball. So maybe he'll force some to him and get some action this week. But I just think it's a tough spot. I really like this coach. I think they're going to continue to play hard. And I think they're right now they're pulling upsets on people. And I think it's going to continue. I think, and I've said it, I think Sanders has done an unbelievable job because I thought it was going to be a circus and it has not been. They've been playing great. So I have to take that. I was dead wrong on that, but I think they'll cover, and I think a little sprinkle on the money line is not a bad look.
Yeah, Sean, I think Hunter probably gets drafted as a corner as well, and he'll probably have some plays dialed up on offense, but I don't see him being an NFL wide receiver.
Well, he came out yesterday and said that he plans to play both ways, and he's going to essentially pull the Eli Manning and pick who drafts him.
He better put weight on, because he would get crushed in the NFL. Like, he is very small, and Colorado does a great job.
But Deion was small, too, in the NFL.
No, at corner, I'm not talking about receiver. On the offensive side of the ball. Yeah, no, corner, he's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Deion could cover, but he couldn't really tackle.
No.
Who cares when you're scoring TDs?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I will not speak ill on Deion Sanders. On this
show. Will say that I kind of want to just wrap this up in a bow. Does Shedeur Sanders not get enough credit? Like, do you think Travis Hunter is almost stealing credit because he both plays both ways? In my mind, Shedeur is a little more valuable. Like, he's made some of those. Obviously, he throws it to Jontay Webster, to Jimmy Horn Jr., to Travis Hunter. Like, in my opinion, he's done more for that team than Travis Hunter has. And I get it. It's an everyday position, every down position. But he keeps a lot of plays alive. And that guy can take a shot in the pocket. I've seen him get drilled so many times and complete a pass. He's kind of getting disrespected in a way.
Yeah, I agree, but he's also the quarterback, and wins and losses all fall on your shoulders when you're the quarterback. And I don't think he gets enough credit for what he's doing. He definitely gets raked through the mud if they lose, but or the offensive line at least does.
Yeah.
BYU 9-1 now. They were the fakest undefeated team. I'm glad that they lost. I think another loss could be on their schedule here with Arizona State. I've not taken the 3 yet, though that worries me a little bit. I know Arizona State's going to slow the ball down with Scadabo. They're probably going to be able to run the ball against BYU, but are you taking the 3 here with Dillingham? Can he do it again as a favorite, though, against the 9-1 BYU Cougs? Todd, I'll go to you first.
Yeah, both teams, very good ATS this year if you look at the numbers there. So I think it's a great game. I mean, I think it finally caught up. We said on a lot of these shows over the last couple of weeks that the Oklahoma State game. Oklahoma State should have beat them out there. And BYU just kept pulling them out. And good for them. They were winning games. Nothing wrong with that. But it finally caught up to them last week. I don't know. I'm not on anything yet with this. Great story. We've said it too about Arizona State. But I'll tell you, pressure might be off. Being undefeated. Do they rebound? I don't know. I think this one's tight. I think this one's not as easy as some people think. I think BYU is going to show up.
Nick?
Yeah, nothing here for me either. These are two teams that are kind of going in opposite directions. Arizona State's been playing well lately. BYU, as Todd said, was kind of skating by for a few weeks and then it bit them in the butt last week. So, but I think BYU has still been the better team most of the year, especially like you look who they've beat. I think their schedule and everything has panned out. That Kansas State win still sticks out to me, beating them by like 40. So I think they're the better team. And like Todd said, maybe the pressure's off, or you could flip it the other way and say this game is probably for the winner goes to the Big 12 championship. Yeah. So I think they treat this as a championship game. I think it's going to be very close, very competitive. I'm definitely going to have this on one of my TVs for sure. I can't wait to see who comes alive. I think Bo Scadabo, if people haven't seen him, like, wait till you see him. He is very impressive. Big kid, will run people over. Not the fastest guy, but he, like, I'm trying to think of the guy's name. Missouri running back last year is who he reminds me of.
Schrader.
Yeah, he kind of reminds Cody Schrader. That's who he reminds me of. So he's fun to watch. I think this will be very close. The total is intriguing. These are two teams that BYU was scoring a lot until the last 2 weeks. Arizona State has picked it up. Quarterback's playing well. Scadabo's healthy. I might look at that over with it being less than 50.
Q?
This kind of has like a 27-23 vibe to it. Like, not overly score, shootout, but enough points to cover a total. I really want to take Arizona State here. I think they're playing pressure-free. Nobody expected them to go 8-2 outside of their locker room. BYU, yeah. You could maybe say, hey, the pressure's off. We got the loss out of the way. Let's just go play ball. But I also think it could dial up the pressure. Like, we can't drop a game now. because that pretty much takes us out of the college football playoff for all intents and purposes without winning the Big 12. If Arizona State wins, they're getting a bid that they never thought they had. And I think at home, if this game was in Provo, then I lean BYU. But, man, this game being in Arizona, I just think Arizona laying the points is the play. I haven't bet it yet, but the ability to play with Scadabo and play for free, essentially, versus the pressure to not lose again is kind of where I think this game's going to go. I think Arizona State gets the win.
All right, moving on to Nick's team, Notre Dame taking on Army. Did they do what they did to Navy and force turnovers? I don't know. I want to bet on Army here. It's the American thing to do. But it's not going to surprise me if Notre Dame blows them out. We talked about strength of schedule earlier. Army is terrible in that category, but decent in everything else. So, Nick, I'll start with you. Are we going with the Fighting Irish here, or how did you bet this?
Yeah, you know I don't take sides with Notre Dame. Puts too much pressure on me. Can't take it. Just
but you can talk me into taking a side.
Yes, I would. I don't think it looks as bad as Navy. I think Army is the best. I think Army is better than Navy. And if Bryson Daly's healthy, I think he's very good. I mean, he's ran for over 1,000 yards. He has 21 rushing touchdowns, which is like fourth in the country, I think. Notre Dame here just has every advantage. Like you mentioned, Army's strength of schedule. The best team they've played is East Carolina. Maybe the best offense was probably North Texas, who that score was very – like that was an outlier. North Texas got in the red zone 5 times without points. Like this, that could have been a very different score. They should have put up at least 30 and turned the ball over 3 times, missed the field goal. I think Notre Dame here won't let that happen. We mentioned them playing Navy every single year. They're used to the triple option. This is something they practice every summer. This isn't new for them. It's not like they're one of those teams that says, okay, we play a game and then we have 4 days to prepare for a brand new offense that we've never seen before. Notre Dame has the athletes. Harold Cross being questionable is a big deal. He's a first-round draft pick at their defensive tackle. But that they don't do a lot of dives this year. A lot of it is kind of Bryson Daly running the sweeps to the outside. He had 32 carries, I think, last week. I don't think he survives a game if he tries to run the ball 32 times against Notre Dame. Like, it's just different style athletes. And then to flip to the other side of the field, I don't know how they stop Notre Dame from scoring. Army has technically one of the best rush defenses, but look who the offense they face. The best rush offense they face is East Carolina. Like, that is not Notre Dame rush defense. Riley Leonard is bigger than basically their linebackers. So I don't see how they stop the run. And then what that does is that puts 8-9 guys in the box to try to stop the run. Then you have 2 NFL receivers in one-on-one coverage against non-NFL cornerbacks for Army. They will get open, makes throws easier. I think Notre Dame kind of names their score, but I do think Army will put up some points. So I have the over 44.5 in this game. And I'm also might put a half unit on Notre Dame's team total just in case Army's offense doesn't show up.
I just had a bird fly into my office window and die.
It's a bad omen.
That isn't. Wow. Yeah,
that's not good.
At least we're not covering a bird yet.
Yeah.
Q, what are you doing in this one?
I'll try to get us back on track here. I took Notre Dame -13.5, -125. I think Army is I'm in agreements with you, Nick. I think they're better than Navy, but it's the same script, right? Like, yeah, sure. Do they pass a little more this season? Yeah, maybe. Same with Navy. Notre Dame probably has the best defensive back core in all of college football. One of the best defenses. I think Navy can score it well. Like you said, I think they're going to be able to, they're used to the triple option, or whatever Army wants to consider themselves in. I don't really like, what do you call that? I think they win. I could see like a 31-14 type game. I do think Army's going to be able to score a couple times, but I don't think they're going to be able to stay within the 14.
Todd, close us out with this one.
Yeah, I have a play on this. I jumped on the over 44.5. You know, we talked about it on the recap show, and I agreed with Nick. I think it's a high-scoring game. You know, if you look at Notre Dame, I mean, they've just been putting points on the board all over the place. And I think, too, I think they'll take care of business, and they blow this team out. Because if you look at Army, great story. I love the service teams and everything like that. And again, you know, the Navy game, a lot of turnovers. The guy, again, couldn't catch a punt in the wind up in New York at all for them. But if they look, some shows were saying their best game was East Carolina. Like, that's their toughest game. So, I mean, what are we talking about here? I Love's going to have a big game. They're going to pound the ball. Leonard's really playing, I think, at a high level right now. Daly, great story. Tough kid. A Texas kid, can really run over people and everything like that. Army scored a lot of points earlier in the year. The last couple games, you know, Air Force, they didn't score much, but he didn't play. Didn't score a ton of points against North Texas. Defense has been playing a lot better, slowing some teams down too. But I think this one's high scoring. Nick said it on Monday. I think if they can get in that like 16-point range, something like that, and I think they can. I think Notre Dame, again, if you go back and look at their scores the last couple games, I mean, they're hitting 50, 40, 35. They're scoring a ton of points. I think this one goes over. I think it's at 45 now. I got it at 44.5 earlier in the week. So I think this one goes over.
All right, moving on. Alabama taking on Boomer Sooner. It's been a sad season for Oklahoma, but again, I see people that I respect handicapping this spot. They like the Sooners here. Q, is it Roll Tide or Boomer?
Yeah, I think Roll Tide. I think they have to perform and kind of blow teams out because they have the two loss. They can't afford to lose a third. That'll, you know, essentially sink the ship. I think they roll the 14. I would take it with Alabama with pretty confidence. I'm probably going to lay it. I think they smoke Oklahoma here. They don't have a choice.
Nick?
Yeah, one of my best bets of the week. I took Alabama, laid the 13.5 is what that when I got it. Alabama just, I think they're kind of on cruise control. I think they'll show up and play. I'm scared of the first half, so I'm staying away from that because that was my first initial look was maybe Alabama just kind of rolls in the first half and then kind of pulls the Oregon and kind of takes a break in the second half. But I'm going to respect kind of Norman at night. It's still a tough place to play. That place will be sold out. They want to try to upset Alabama. It would save their season. If they win this game, then it's probably a pseudo successful year in their first year in the SEC, beat the big dog Alabama. But I just don't see it happening. I just don't see where Oklahoma scores. They're great against the rush. So I don't know if Alabama like blows them out per se, just because Milroe, I don't know how much they're going to run Milroe in this game after how much they just ran him against LSU. I think they'll try to kind of protect him, keep him healthy. Alabama is going to do what they need to do, but I think they still probably win this by 20. I don't think it'll be pretty because like I said, I don't see where Oklahoma scores. That's why I'm taking Bama by 14. I think this is something like a, I don't know. I could see like a 27-10 or just something ugly.
Toddy.
Yeah, no play for me. I think it's a tough spot. I think, Oklahoma, a proud program. I just think overall they're going to get outmatched here. I think I read too or heard this week that the head coach's wife is going through some stuff with cancer and everything. So hopefully she'll be okay. And, that's just a tough situation to be coaching and then having that put on your plate too. So I think it's a proudful program. I think they'll try to hang in there. I just think throughout the game, Alabama is just way more talented and just going to score more points than Oklahoma. So it's a pass for me, but I think Bama takes care of business.
All right. And we are getting into it. Ken, if you stuck around this long, we are going to talk about this game. Cause yes, it is a very fishy line. Todd, you doing anything in this one? This would be Auburn or pass for me.
Yeah, I think it's a weird line. I think sometimes when you see this and you're like, wow, way too good to be true. Sometimes it comes back and gets you. Again, Auburn has not been a team that's been fantastic. A lot of turnovers on the offense. A&M, again, I like the coach. They flip quarterbacks throughout the season a little bit this year. But the one thing that scares me a little bit, they had the big game against Texas coming up. Are they overlooking this game? It's a pass for me, but I'll tell you, I think this is a weird line, and I think Auburn might get this one.
Nick, I think you've got some info on some starters being out for A&M.
Yeah, I believe there's 5 starters that are out for A&M. Obviously, biggest one, starting running back, probably the second or third best running back in the SEC. He's done for the year. Number 2 receiver is out. They have 4 defenders, 4 starting defensive – or, yeah, 3 or 4 starters that are out on the defensive side of the ball. Still doesn't explain this number, though. A&M, I think basically the whole year has been the better team. Auburn, we've seen them look awful. And then you actually dig into it. Auburn hasn't beaten a team with that finishes the year with a winning record since 2021. They haven't beaten an SEC team at home since 2022, and that was Mississippi State, who fired their coach halfway through the season. So why is it going to be now? But somebody knows something. This is one I'm staying away from because I would have set this line at probably 10 or 11. So the fact that it's 3 or 2.5, yeah, I am staying away. I will watch it because I think this could be one that Auburn pulls out and kind of saves their season and gives them something to look forward to going into next year and the Iron Bowl next week.
I guess they're just putting a lot of stock in Auburn's 48-14 win over UL Monroe. Q, close us out on this one.
Well, you'll see later. I'm going to be that idiot that falls right into the hole here. I did not know those starters were out, so that's bad research on me. You'll see that later. But, yeah, I think the Aggies are going to win. I think they need to win. So I took them on a money line. The line was a little weird, but I think at this point, this is a game A&M can't drop. I like Tim Elko. I think he'll have the boys prepared, whether they're second strings or not. But, yeah. When you sit there and you say, I told you so next week, don't at me because I already acknowledged it.
BYU got us both last week. We both said, we'll take the 2.5 with the team that's looked better all year.
Yeah,
it does. We said, hey, hands up. If they lose, fine, I'll wear it. This kind of just smells exactly like that one.
There have been several Auburn games, though, where that line is 2.5, 3.5. I know, like, Arkansas.
Missouri.
And I don't think they've won a single one of them. So maybe sometimes we try to over handicap it. Oklahoma was another one that I think was a 3.5 point line, and they cover or didn't cover that one. But real quick, you've seen the program or the ad about home field apparel, but I'm not going to bore you with it. We need to refresh it. I am rocking a home field apparel shirt. Oh, look, so is Smitty. I know Q's got some stuff. Nick, I think you were going to order some stuff. These shirts, the quality, y'all, we cannot reach it enough. It they have amazing products. It's like butter. Todd? He wasn't even ready to do an ad read live.
No, hey, listen, I can. I mean, I can adjust here quick here. No, fantastic stuff. Shirts are great. I'm ready to get a big order in here. I've been looking, trying to map out where I'm going to go with some shirts, trying to get some baseball shirts so I can jinx some teams here coming up for our baseball show. I can't wait. I've said it before. My daughters have got some of the sweatshirts. So, I mean, the sweatshirts, fantastic, great company. So I'm glad we're on board with them.
All right, best bets coming up.
These games are a burial, a blowout, a human lock. You can bet your children's, unborn children's, children on these 6 games.
All right, best bets rolling out. Q will get you started.
All right, Colorado money line. We already talked about that. I think Kansas is just coming to the season a little too late. Colorado's playing for everything ahead of them. A&M, we just talked about that. They're about 18 starters out. Didn't know that. I'll be accepting that loss preemptively. And then Florida, lines between 11 and 12, depending on what book you're at. There's no reason they can't hang in this game. Everything is, you know, kind of bulletin board material. Everybody's giving them no shot to even hang in this game. Everybody's sucking off Lane Kiffin. He's not done well in Gainesville, whether he was at Tennessee or Ole Miss. Give me the Gators. I think they cover. Small chance of winning outright.
Tricky Nicky, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I've covered all three of these in today's show. Army Notre Dame is probably my favorite one. The over 44.5. I think if it does, I mean, you look at it from this standpoint, both teams can score. We've seen it from both teams. If Army doesn't score and it does turn into that Navy game, Notre Dame will hit this number by themselves. If they turn the ball over, there's no reason why Notre Dame won't put up 50 again like they've been doing recently. So love this number. Was surprised it was so low. I think Aaron saw that. The USC Army had a 17-minute drive last week. Like, I don't think I've ever seen something like that. Like, it lasted longer than a quarter. And, like, so I think that's what people saw. But Army's been a little bit more up-tempo than usual this year. So, yeah, love that over. Bama, like I said, they're just kind of – they're ready. Their season, for the most part, is over. I hope they don't sleepwalk into Oklahoma too much. But the reason I'm doing this is Oklahoma, I just don't see how they can score. Having no score most of the year. Alabama's defense in the one has been improving. That's not who you want to see when you can't score. A quarterback who's already – is he transferring? Is he staying? Are they going to bring in a new transfer to play quarterback next year? There's so much going on around that program, and the season's not even over yet. There's too many distractions. I think they've moved on to next year. Yeah, give me Bama. SMU team total over. This is strictly on style points. Virginia's defense is not good. SMU needs to put up as many points as possible. We saw it last week. They won't take knees. They're not just going to run the clock out. I think they will continue to score. Kevin Jennings has been awesome, not turning the ball over anymore. He's completing like 82% of his passes, I believe, over the last like 3 weeks. So, yeah, I think they end up rolling and scoring more points.
Toddy.
Yeah, Kansas, you know, we already talked about it. I think they're going to be able to compete, maybe win the game outright. UCLA. You know, I'm impressed. You know, Eric Bieniemy was the offensive coordinator, and I'm like, yeah, that's why Eric Bieniemy's there, because they can't do anything. Well, they've actually got better. They're moving the ball. I know they lost last week, but moved the ball. They had some turnover issues in that game, but they're playing tough. USC, I don't know. I'm not sold. I've said it. I'm not sold on this team. I know they got Nebraska last week. The running back had a big game, but UCLA's been stopping the run. They did a great job against Iowa, and they're a really good running back in this. I think this game's competitive. I think UCLA can hang around in this. +5, yeah, I'll take a chance with this one. I think it's a team that the coach has done a fantastic job there. That team's got better throughout the year. Arkansas State, this is a trend play. I saw this the other day. They're playing Monroe. I think they're like 14-0 straight up against this team. Their last 14, I think they've covered the spread, and about all of them are very close to it too. So I think it continues to happen. It was a little lower. It's starting to go up. I jumped on it. So let's get that as the best bet this week and keep that trend going, guys. Keep winning.
And I think all mine were covered on the show as well. Colorado Moneyline. I just think their athletes are going to be too much for Kansas. SMU first half -5.5, 6.5, whatever you can get it at. These are all DraftKings current as of about 30 minutes before the show started. And then Indiana +3.5 for the first quarter. We're just going to trust Kurt Cignetti to hang with Ohio State for at least a quarter, and then we may live bet it from there on. And then a little bit of breaking news. Brock Purdy is out. Brandon Allen, the former Razorback, will get the start for the 49ers this weekend against Green Bay.
He's in the NFL?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been there.
That poor guy got his truck set on fire twice playing for the Razorbacks. He was one of the only bright spots for those bad Brett Bielema teams. Never got enough credit. But
you got the old Steeler Josh Dobbs on that team. I'm a little shocked that he's not getting a start in that.
Yep.
Speaking of Arkansas, I was actually going to bring this up since we haven't talked about Arkansas. A play I'm leaning on, give me your advice. Arkansas first quarter -6.5.
Yeah, it's all of what Colin Wilson or Stucky won from the Action Network. They were on that. I mean, the trend is Bobby Petrino really takes it to the smaller schools. With everybody back healthy, I kind of like that. I may go 13.5 for the first half, though. Just because the first quarter, that worries me if Louisiana Tech can get a touchdown on a scripted drive. I think it could be a 14-10, 14-13 top first quarter as far as points being scored by Arkansas. But I don't know. I think you're fine with the bet at 6.5 in the first quarter, but Arkansas would have to get the ball first.
Go on. Sounds like Arkansas first half team total, then maybe. I'll have to look and see what that is.
It's all going to be dependent on who gets the ball. But that closes it out. Sean, does Brian Kelly make it to next season? This is wild to me. I mean,
he'll be there next
only
season.
A dozen good no football coaches.
No question.
It's a $40 million buyout.
Who would LSU even go after? Like, what coach has a better win percentage? Kurt Cignetti just signed an ungodly extension.
Georgia's defense coordinator is going to get a pretty big time job. That's a name that you see kind of popping up in the rumors. Not saying they will. I'm just saying that's a guy that could be out there on the market. You know, maybe you try to draw Matt Campbell from Iowa State, somebody like that. Rhett Lashley, I don't know. But I'll say this real quick. Smitty had texted me backstage. If Arkansas State moneyline wins for him, he's going to be buying this Arkansas State 1970 National Championships tee on home field apparel. I'm telling you right now, the quality is worth it. Home field apparel, use code INSIDERS, 15% off. You've already bought it.
I honestly didn't even know they had Arkansas State.
Well, he did because he texted me about it. But if you've already ordered using our code, we want to say thank you. You can always get another Christmas gift. Just use another email. We know you have one. We know you have four. Just keep using different emails, and you get to use 50% off. So root for Arkansas State. Let's get that 1970 championship shirt on the show and order another shirt. Use code INSIDERS.
What did they win? Arkansas High School? Something?
Yeah. Listen, I don't know. That's just what they printed. Smitty said.
All right. Well, cash some tickets this weekend. Thank you all for tuning in. Make sure you like, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and go rate us on Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. We appreciate it. Q, you did not upload last week's podcast.
No, I'm bad about that.
So unfortunately, that one's not up, but this week's will be. So if you're taking us in podcast form only, sorry you missed last week, but you'll be back with us this week. So thank you all. Have a good weekend.